Amen. Appreciate that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning, if you would. Ecclesiastes 3. Again, appreciate the special. He's a precious Savior. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 today. Y'all awake? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now hang in there with me this morning. It matters whether or not you're here. It does. It matters for your sake, but also matters for our sake. Of course, whenever we've got a lot of people gone, it'd be foolish to try to ignore the fact that it affects the spirit of service. It does. And, of course, I realize it's Christmas time. People are traveling. I get that. It's not that I'm saying, you know, people are wrong for traveling. I'm going to be gone here, you know, coming up pretty soon. So it's not that at all. I'm just saying that it does impact, you know, when we're gone. It's important that we're here in the house of God. It's important that when we're here in town and able to come and not traveling, we'd be in His house, because it certainly does encourage us. Encourages each other. Listen, I'm much more encouraged by a big crowd than a little crowd, and I think we are too. Gives us more people to interact with, more people to fellowship with as well. So appreciate you being here, and again, do be in prayer for those who are traveling. Hope they have a great time as they're going over the Christmas holiday, and I know some are going out yet, and we'll be back later, but again, don't take that as to mean people shouldn't travel. I get it. I understand. I enjoy it as well from time to time, but it does matter when we're here that we show up. It's important to the service and the spirit of the service. You matter. Just want you to feel good about yourself. Ecclesiastes 3, one verse, been hammering away in this passage in Sunday school here lately, and it's been on my mind for some reason for about the last 3 months. But Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Father, as we come to you, pray that you'll bless our time in your word today. Help us to understand the truths that we're going to put forward today. And again, there won't be anything we haven't heard before, but I pray that we make application of them. Thankful for those who are here, and pray for those who are traveling. Lord, you know my heart. I know I always miss our folks when they're gone and traveling. It's always such a joy to see them back. And we also pray for those who are out sick today. I know there are some home ill, and so we pray for them as well, that you'll raise them back up, that they'll be able to be back with us very soon, and that they'll feel well very quickly. But again, we pray as we look into your word, whether we're here in the auditorium or listening online, that you'll speak to our heart as you see fit today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thanks again for standing this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, there's something in life that we complain about with almost everybody that we meet in the course of a day at some point or another. And I'm not talking about government, though that's probably true, or COVID, though that's probably true, or stupid masks. Amen. I'm not talking about that either, because we also fuss about those with about everybody that we meet. It's true. But the thing I'm talking about is time. We complain about time, do we not? All of the time with everybody that we meet. It's going to be a hard message to get through without saying time over and over again. But we complain about time with all kinds of people, especially, you know, during this time of year as we're thinking about, I've already moved on from Christmas. I'm into the new year now. And as we start thinking about time, this, you know, during this phase of the year, we start thinking about the upcoming year. We think about what we're going to do this year. I'm sure some have already decided. I know many, I'm sure, are already going to start dieting, you know, a week from Monday, because it's that time of year. And so we'll start thinking about that. And so we talk a lot about time, or think a lot about time this time of year. But we also complain a lot about it all of the time to one another. You know, we complain about not having enough of it. I mean, how many of us complain this week about not having enough time? We complain about not having enough of it. We complain about being out of it. Out of time. We complain about people wasting time. We complain about them wasting our time, costing us time, how time is preventing us from doing something we want, or how time is keeping us from doing something we need to do, or how time is keeping us from helping someone else. We're always losing time. I know we're always losing it, because we're always trying to find time. So we must be losing it someplace, at the rate we're always trying to find it. Maybe the reason we are constantly losing it is because it's always flying by when we deal with time. You know, we're always out of time. We never have enough of it, which is strange considering the premium we put on busyness. You know, we make busyness today such a virtue, and we place such a premium on it. And so we place a virtue on busyness, and at the same time complain about the fact we have no time, that we're out of time or running out of time. And we all know this morning that eventually, especially today, you know, we don't have a lot in the way of visitors, have one or two, and we appreciate them being here, but most of us are home folk. And we know this morning that one of these days we'll all be out of time. Right. We're all going to run out of time. It's kind of like that old story you may have heard before about the guy who went to the doctor, went and had his annual checkup, and the doctor called him back in and said, I need to talk to you. So he came back into the doctor's office, and the doctor said, well, I got bad news and worse news. And the guy said, well, give me the bad news first. He said, well, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live. So the guy freaks out, you know, gets up and runs around all over the doctor's office saying, 24 hours? What am I going to do in 24 hours? I never get everything together in 24 hours. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And when he finally comes down, he asks the doctor, he said, well, if that's the bad news, what's the worst news? He said, well, the worst news is I was supposed to call you yesterday and tell you this, but I forgot. All right, so sooner or later, we're all going to be out of time, all right? Sometimes a little quicker than we had thought, but we're also running out very, very quickly. Someone one time wrote that there is no such thing as now, because when you say the word now, by the time you get to the W, N is already in the past, and so there is no such thing as now. The truth is this, and this is what's being hammered away at in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're impressing it over in the College of Career class, that God has given us all enough time. He's given all of us enough time, first of all, to get saved, right, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you die without Christ and you end up in a devil's hell, it won't be because you didn't have the time to get saved. You had plenty of time to get saved. He's given us all the time to raise our children to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't want my children or my grandchildren to end up in hell. Right. And so we've all got time for that. We have the time to get saved. We have enough time for that. We have the time to do His will in our life. Whatever God's will is for your life, He has given you enough time to complete that. Some of us will need 80 years to do that. Some of us will only need 20 years to do that. But God has given us enough time to fulfill or carry out whatever it is that His will is for your life. He's given us enough time to live the life that God intended us to live. You and I were born with a purpose. We know that. And God has an intention for our life. And whether that time takes 14 years or 74 years or 40 years or 80 years, God's given you enough time to do His unique will in your unique life. And so when we talk about being out of time, nobody in this room this morning, nobody listening online does not have enough time to serve God, does not have enough time for God or for the things of God, because He's given us sufficient time. Amen. That's what the whole chapter 3 in the book of Ecclesiastes is about, is that to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. God's given us all of these times in verses 2 through 8 that we experience in life, and He's given us the time to do that. You know, too many people live oblivious to the fact that one of these days we are going to be out of time, but God has given us sufficient time. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 8:5, a wise man discerneth both time and judgment. In other words, a wise man, a wise person, is very discerning about time. Now, when we think about being discerning about time, we try to think about how we can fit everything in our schedule. Well, that's not what Solomon's talking about. A wise person is discerning about the fact that God has given us sufficient time to do His will in our life, and how important it is that we use that time efficiently to carry out His will. And so he says, a wise man discerneth time and judgment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says that a wise man passes his time here in fear of God, ensuring that he does what it is that God wants us to have. So time is extremely important. God's given us the time we need to serve Him. Don't tell me about how you don't have time to go to church. You don't have time to serve God. You do. Right. Just misappropriating your time, because God has given us the time to do that. Now, I know this much. Everybody in this room is going to have time to attend their funeral. Right. All right. So since we're all going to have time to attend our own funeral, it's going to be important what we do here, because what we do here, the importance of what we do here, or how we spend our time here, is certainly going to be revealed in eternity. And our right use of it will be revealed in eternity. Because in eternity, we'll reveal the right use or the wrong use of our time. One thing's for sure, it will reveal where we or our children are going to spend eternity. It'll also, of course, reveal how we used our time and how we used it for God. Let me say this, God doesn't want your spare time.
Right.
He is the one, as we're going to see, who gave you time. And He expects us to have the time for Him. God doesn't want your leftover time after you've mowed your grass and fixed your house and washed your car and done all the other stuff that you do. And then if you have time for God, you'll go serve Him. God doesn't want your spare time. It's insulting to give God your spare time. And if you don't have time for God, you are too busy, friend, because He should be preeminent in our life if you profess to be a Christian. And if you don't profess to be a Christian, you've only got so much time to get saved. And so time is certainly a valuable commodity. I know this much. I've wasted a lot of things in my life. Oh, come on, say amen. You have too. I've wasted money. I try not to. Nowadays, I'm a little smarter now, but I've wasted money. And every now and then, I still waste a little bit of money. It depends on your definition of waste. If it has two wheels or goes boom, that's not a waste of money. All right. But there is I've wasted money in my life. I've wasted opportunities in my life. You know, I've wasted other things in my life. But there's little in life I've wasted of greater value than time. Because it is the one thing you never, ever get back or you can never, ever recuperate. And so it's extremely important how we use it. So I want you to see this morning some Bible truths about time. Some basic Bible truths about time. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Okay, tune in. You only have to listen for a short time. All right, some basic Bible truths about time. First of all, number one, time is the gift of God.
Amen.
Time is a gift from God, and it's His to give or take as He sees fit. Time is a gift of God. Your time doesn't belong to you. We hear people talk about, well, my time belongs to me. No, it's God's time. And God has given you the gift of time, and He gives it to you to use for His will, and He gives and takes it as He sees fit. Now, I doubt anybody in this room this morning knows who Claudius Ptolemy is. You will here in a moment. But I'm sure most of us don't know who he is. And Claudius Ptolemy is kind of important, I guess. In his day, man had already divided time into hours and minutes. But it's Claudius Ptolemy who's credited with inventing the second, which he described as 1/60th of a minute. He's a genius, amen. He describes it as 1/60th of a second. That wasn't a great deal of value because he discovered it, supposedly, in 150 A.D. And it wasn't until the 17th century that man had timepieces accurate enough to be able to actually record a second. But he divided it into 1/60th of a second. Now, I hate to rob Claudius of his fame, but he didn't invent the second. All Claudius Ptolemy did was discover what was already there. Man had already divided the hour and a minute into 60, and so he simply divided the minute into 60 and came up with the second, but he didn't invent any of that. Man didn't invent the hour. Man didn't invent the minute. Man didn't invent the second. Most reference works, I actually looked. I thought, well, I wonder what the reference works say about who invented time. When you look it up, they all agreed about one thing, and that is that nobody knows who invented time or who discovered time. Nobody knows. They talked about how certain men discovered how the planets move and rotate and the sunrise and sunset and different astrological things. They talked about that. But at the end of the day, they all concluded this. It is unknown who invented time. Well, you know this morning, like always, man's just looking in the wrong book. That's the problem. Because if you look in the right book, you'll know who invented time. Genesis chapter 1. Turn over there. Again, I know you know this, but we'll look anyway. Genesis chapter 1. We know God is the one who invented time. Genesis chapter 1, and He did it during the six-day creation. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, well-known passage, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and He called the darkness night, and the evening and morning were the first what? Day. So He makes the first day, evening, morning. He defines what a day is, an evening and a morning, and He gives us the first day. Then in verse 8, it says, an evening and morning were the second day. And then in verse 13, an evening and morning were the third day. And He goes all the way over to chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, where He defines the seventh day and works His way all the way through 7 days. And so God creates the days and defines them by morning and evening. Now the day age people are those who believe that these aren't literal 24-hour days, but represent thousands or even millions of years. And you ought to be glad they're wrong, because if they were right, Mondays might be 100,000 years long. Think how horrible that would be. And so we know these aren't millions or thousands of years. This is not some evolutionary compromise. God spoke, and in 24 hours, morning and evening, God created all that was. And in the process of doing that, He created time. And of course, God created time, and when He made us, He gave it to us as a means of regulating our lives and interacting with one another. Now, unfortunately, we've made it our master that it was meant to serve us to be able to regulate our lives. You know, God's eternal. And so since God's eternal, He's not bound by time. And as far as we know, before creation, there was no such thing as time. And I believe that it's very likely that when this present age is over and this present creation is over, that when we get out into eternity, there'll be no more time, nor need of time. What do we need time for in eternity? Now, I do know that God speaks of time and eternity for our understanding. How could you express eternity to us who are bound by time without using time? I have no concept, really, of forever. And so God gives us 10,000 years or however many years to help us understand the length of eternity, or the concept, I should say, of eternity. But as far as I know, there's no reference to the fact that there'll actually be time. Won't that be great? Be no more time. But it was created for this present world, because as much as we fuss about time, and as much as we complain about time, and as often as we are weary of time, imagine what it would be like trying to lead your life without time. I mean, just trying to figure out when you're supposed to be at somebody's house for supper would be a chore if we didn't have time. When should I be there? Well, I don't know. There's no time. Well, there's time so that God can help us to regulate our life. And if that's the case, think what it'd be like trying to do business without time. You wouldn't know when to go to work or when to get off work. How horrible would that be? And so you wouldn't know any of those things. The problem, the problems it would create if we didn't have the gift of time. And so we get weary of time, because we do. Come on, say amen. We get weary of time. That's why we talk about it so much. We never talk about time as a good thing. We always complain about it and gripe about it. We're out of time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. On and on it goes. But time is the blessing of the grace of God given to us to regulate our life in this time. The problem is not time. It's our understanding of time. It's our understanding of the purpose of the time that God has given us. And it's our understanding of the management of time and why it's here. You know, if God gave it to us out of His grace, He meant it to be a blessing. And He's given it to us for a reason. Now, as I said, time indeed absolutely is the gift of God. And it was given to us to use according to His will. Now, if you're listening, maybe online or someplace, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't believe that. My time is my own. Why don't you get yourself down on your knees and ask God to take from you all the time He hasn't given you? Ask Him to take the time that God's blessed you with. If you think that your time is your own, you might find out very quickly that the only time you have is that which God has blessed you with and the time that God has given you. You might be like that guy over in Luke chapter 12 that pulled down his barns and built more. And then Jesus came along in the parable and said, "You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you," because he thought he had all kinds of time. So we know that all this time is in the control of God. In Ecclesiastes 3 in our text where we read, this is that great passage on time, and here we're told that God has given us times and seasons. Seasons, of course, as we talked about in Sunday school, are those phases of life that we go through. But times is a reference to the fact that God has given us enough time to accomplish His will. And He lists some of those couplets. You've got time to die, a time to live, a time to heal, a time to break down. All those couplets all the way down through verse 8, God has given us the time to do those things and to carry out His will. The trouble and the weariness of time comes when we fail to use it according to His purpose. We're all familiar with the term rat race, aren't we? And when life becomes a rat race is when we begin to use our time outside God's plan and outside God's will. What is rat race? What's it refer to? It's chasing the clock. It's chasing time. Running around without enough time, always looking for time, short on time, trying to find more time. And when we use our time wrongly, that's when life ends up being a rat race. God gave it to us to use wisely, carefully, appreciatively. Man, you ought to appreciate the time you've got. Understanding our responsibility for its use. You know, time, like any other gift from God, comes with accountability. God's given me life, and I'm accountable to Him for the life that He's given me. If you're saved today, then God has given you a new life, and you're accountable to Him for how you use that life. Amen. And God has given you time. Amen. And you and I are accountable for how we use our time. Right. And I've said before, if there's anything in my life I regret, it is the time that I've wasted. If there's anything I could go back in time and recover, it would be time. It would be the time I spent doing something else that I thought was so important when I should have been home, or time I should have been spending with my kids when I was dealing with something else that I thought was so important. All the time I spent on the immediate rather than on the important in my life. If I could go back and recover time. But we can't, can we? We can't go back and get it. We only have it as God gives it to us. And time, like I said, anything else is a gift from God. It comes with accountability. Like anything God has given us, He didn't give it to us to just greedily use with no thought of Him, with no thought of the one who gave it to us. 1 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned this verse a minute ago, but let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Y'all still awake?
Amen.
Hang in there. We'll get through this in time. We'll try to make sure as we can because my stomach's growling, which means it's time to eat, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 says, and if you call on the Father, if you are saved, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourn here in fear. And he talks here about, makes reference to our responsibility to God for the time that he's given us. Hey, think about this. Isn't it funny that it's God who gave man the gift of time? And now man doesn't have time for the God who gave it to him.
Right.
Isn't that something? Your time is in the hand of God.
Right.
And the time he's given you is his gift to you. And now we take that time and have no time for him.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people in my lifetime and in my ministry whose God has reminded just who time comes from.
Yes.
Because it's amazing how you can think you've got all kinds of time. Just how quickly you can find out that God gives time and takes time as he sees fit, according to his grace and mercy. In our thanklessness and arrogance and short-sightedness, we sometimes think that we can treat time like a commodity, like we do food, gas, or oil. We even talk about time in commercial terms, don't we? We talk about buying time, saving time, spending time, investing time, losing time, gaining time. Like we can do any of these. Like we can save time, or we can invest time, or we can do any of these things. We talk about it again like it's some form of commodity in our lifetime. The truth is that we don't have any control over it because we didn't make it. We didn't create it. We didn't even discover it. It's the gift of God that he gives to each of us in portion. And I'm thankful that he lets us use some of that time for ourselves. Amen. There's some things I like to do in my life. I'm thankful that God doesn't say, you have to use every minute of your entire life directly in my service. I'm not saying that wouldn't be enjoyable, but I am saying this, that there are some things I like to do in my life. You know, I have a couple hobbies, some different things I like to do just for the fun of it. I like to, you know, go someplace every now and then, do something for enjoyment. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And so God lets us use some of that. And he lets us use some of that time to provide for ourselves. To work a job and do that which is needful, to gain some material things that not only do we need in life, but even some that make it more comfortable in life. I like having a roof over my head. I like eating and sleeping indoors. And so I'm glad God allows us to gain some of those things and gives us the time to do that. So God doesn't just ask for all of our time, but the primary purpose of time is to accomplish his will and to serve him and to raise a family to serve him. And to raise our children to serve him and to wait for his return.
Amen.
No, to anxiously await for his return. The trouble is that we get it backwards. We think time is about gaining material things. We think time is about working our job. We think time is about our hobby. And we think time is about gaining money. We think time is about accumulating stuff. We think that's what time is about. And I'm thankful God lets us use some of our time, say amen, for those things.
Right.
But our time is about him, the one who gave it to us. And when we get those things ahead of God, then we're all out of balance and we end up in a rat race wondering how we're ever going to get time to do all of this. And I'm just like you. I complain about time, but I'm going to try to catch myself because this message worked me over about how much I complain about time. It's like the Lord says, you've got plenty of time. It's just what you're focused on that it's the problem. God says, I've given you plenty of time. God has not given you a life to live and then not given you enough time to live it. God's not given you a will for your life and not given you the time to fulfill it. God hasn't given you children or grandchildren, not given you the time to raise them and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He's given us the time we need. It's just what we focus it on. When we no longer have time for the one who gave it to us, that's when our life turns into a rat race, and that's where something has gone wrong. You don't have time to go to church? Something's upside down in your life, friend. You don't have time to focus on God? Something is upside down in your life. So thankful God lets us do those things. He gave us all things richly to enjoy. I think that includes time. But we'll never enjoy it unless we give God his time first. And he doesn't want your leftover time after you've done everything else. Well, we'll go to church, you know, if Aunt Betty doesn't come to town and I don't have to mow the grass or wash the car or fix the plumbing or do whatever it is I got to do. No, God doesn't want your spare time. He's the one who gave you time. He should come first. And God gives us time for the other stuff, if we'll keep it all in perspective. So the first truth about time is that it's a gift of God. Secondly, second truth about time is this. While time's a gift from God to us, He's only given us a portion of time. He's only given us a portion of time. In other words, our time is limited, isn't it? Look over to Ecclesiastes. Solomon talks about the man who doesn't understand this in Ecclesiastes 9. This is a thing I say a lot of times. We all know we could die today. We just don't think we're going to. We all know we could die tomorrow. We just don't think we're going to. Because we always, it's our nature to always think there's always more what? There's always more time. Always more time. Until one day there isn't. Time is the gift of God, but not only is the gift of God, He gives it to us in portions. In Ecclesiastes 9, Solomon gives us a great description in verse 11. He says, "And I returned and saw under the sun," if you're familiar with Ecclesiastes, under the sun is the view of life without God, man's perspective. "And I returned, and as I saw life as man sees it without God, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." Man says, this is strange. The victory should be to the strongest one, or the race should be to the fastest one. But Solomon says that's not what happens. "Nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to all of them." Now listen, we know as God's people that's not true in the sense that Solomon's using here. We know that God's in control of our life, and God in His providence works things out according to His will. And as he says earlier in Ecclesiastes 3, He makes everything beautiful in His time. But he's looking at life under the sun. And as man looks at things, man thinks his life is nothing but one endless string of chance and circumstance and happenstance and fate and accidents. Verse 12, he says this about time. "For man also knoweth not his time." He doesn't know the end of his time or when that portion that God gave him runs out. "As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as birds are caught in a snare, so are the sons of man snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them." And he says, man fails to realize that not only is time the gift of God, but God has given it to us as a portion. And we have no concept of when that portion will be complete or when that portion will be done. And he says that some people, when they forget about God and they use all of their time for self, or when they use all of their time for material gain, or all of their time for material possessions, or all of their time to focus on their little use of it in life, when they get so focused on that, all of a sudden they run out of time. Their portion is ended. And he says, it's like a fish, it's like a dumb fish swimming along in the river, and all of a sudden somebody drops the net, whoosh, he's gone. Had no clue it was coming or what happened to him. And on the way up, you know what the fish is doing? If a fish can wonder, he's going, "What happened?" And he says, people are like that. Listen, I've been with a lot of people when they've left this life and gone out into eternity. And a lot of times the question, it's always the same. I thought I had more time. I can't believe that my life has gone this fast. I can't believe that it's over. What happened? What happened? We talk about it all the time, don't we? What happened to our life? And God gives it to us in a portion. So it's a gift of God, and you've only got so much. We know that, don't we? We know it up here, but we've only got so much. Look over in Job chapter 14. If you're in Ecclesiastes, you're not too far. Job chapter 14. This is why Solomon also said in Proverbs 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth." Job also referred to man's limited portion of time. In Job 14 and verse 5, talking about man, he says in verse 5, he talks about man's sinful nature in verse 4. Then in verse 5, he says, "Seeing his days are determined, and the number of months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." God has appointed the bounds of our life. Now, I know the Bible also talks about that we can go home early. There's nobody going home late. God has set the bounds of our life. You understand that means our life has boundaries, Brother Matt. Those boundaries are the day I was born and the day I will die if Jesus doesn't come back first. Those are the bookends, the boundaries of my life. And God has established those. They are already established. I'm not Hezekiah. I don't want to know how many days I have until I reach that end boundary. I'm happy not knowing. I don't want to know. I just need to know, Brother Sam, that there are boundaries. And for some of us, that boundary from birth to death will be 80 years long. Amen? Some of us, it might be 100. Take enough vitamins, might be 100. Eat enough broccoli, you might make it to 100. Sad part is, that doesn't even really matter, does it? People eat nothing but junk food and live to be 100. People eat broccoli every day of their life, bless their hearts. And they only live to be 20. That's probably because of all the cheese they put on it. And so God has established the boundaries of our life. And those are set with God. That means every day I'm getting closer and closer to the end boundary. Now, if you're saved today, that's not a horrible thing. Because when I reach that end boundary, I know that I'll be absent from this body and present with my Lord. But I also know that when I reach that end boundary, I'm going to be responsible for what happened between those two boundaries in my life and how I use that time. I just need to understand that God gave that time within those boundaries to me as a gift to be used, Brother Casey, for His will and to raise my family in the nurture of the Lord and to spread the gospel and serve God and do His will and to take care of myself and accumulate some stuff, maybe leave my kids a few things. I understand God's given me all that time, and one of these days I'm going to be responsible to Him for what I did with all of it because I only have so much of it. And it's easy sitting here today sometimes to think about we've always got plenty of time. If you're older this morning, you know what I mean when I say 5 years used to seem like a long time. And the older you get, the shorter time begins to be. You start thinking about 8 years from now. Well, man, when I was 14, 8 years, you might as well set 100. When I was 13, waiting to be 16 so I could drive, I thought, 3 years. I'll never be able to drive. Now 3 years seems like 10 minutes ago. It goes by so fast. We become more conscious of time as we get older. But listen to me, we shouldn't be. We should be constantly aware of the fact that God has established the boundaries in our life. And we don't know what those are. You know as well as I do, there are plenty of people in this life who reach their boundary at 15. Some don't even make it past birth. You say, well, why would God do that? I don't know. I just know this much, time is in His control. And He sets the boundaries of our life. We're so confident that we have plenty of it that we even mortgage time like a house or like a car. Sure, we're constantly spending time we don't even have yet. That's how confident we are of time. You know, James warned about the arrogance and the foolishness of thinking that we can use time like a credit card. Go to now, ye that say tomorrow. When you understand, don't you, that when you say, I'm going to do this tomorrow, you're mortgaging time you don't have yet. And I understand we have to plan. I get that. But the problem is not planning. The problem is sometimes our mentality is that tomorrow I'm going to do it. But all we're doing is borrowing time we don't yet have. You know when I'll know what I'm going to do at 10 o'clock tomorrow? 10 o'clock tomorrow. If I make it to 10 o'clock tomorrow. God has given us time to use, and sometimes we try to mortgage, I said, like a credit card, time that we don't even yet possess. James chapter 4 says we're foolish for doing that. Come on, we know those verses. Smart aren't turning because you're aware of them. Now, knowing that the time you have is a gift of God, and knowing that all of it that you need to do in your life to do His will, don't forget the God who gave it to you. And that we don't need more time. What we need is more discernment, not more time. Psalm 90. We've been working on our house, and maybe that's why God's been eating my lunch. I've been complaining so much about time. Time. When we get time, when I have time, we get more time. Just need more time. Time is like a garage, right? If you had a 5-car garage, you'd fill it up with 5 cars worth of stuff. Come on, isn't that true? Yeah. No matter how big, we need a bigger house. You just fill it up. If you had 1,200 square feet, you'd fill that up. If you had 3 times that, you'd fill it up. If you had more time, if God tomorrow came down and said, I'm going to rearrange creation, you now have a 46-hour day, we'd fill it up. It's not a matter of time, it's the discernment and the use of time. Psalm 90, verse 12. You know, some people do park their cars in a garage. Isn't that weird? Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to what? No. So we might apply our hearts to accumulate more money, so that we might apply our hearts to padden our retirement, so that we might apply our hearts to get a bigger house, so that we might apply our hearts to advance in my career, so that we might apply our hearts to have more fun. He says, no, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And if you do that, all that other stuff will take care of itself. What's he talking about? Wisdom. The use of time in relationship to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. May not be everything you wanted, but be everything you needed. Discernment to recognize the shortness of my time, rather than acting like I have an unlimited supply of it, or ignoring the fact that I'm running out of it and there's no resupply. The discernment to know the kind of time my family needs, certainly, and also, of course, the appropriate time with them, but also the discernment to know that when I've used up all the time that God has given me, I'm going to stand before Him and answer for how I used it, whether I accomplished the will that He gave me the time to do, whether I greedily or selfishly used up the gift of time while not having time for the God who gave it to me, and that one day I'll be accountable. So the first truth is, God, time is a gift of God. Second truth, God has not only given each of us time, but He's given us a portion of time. Thirdly, third basic Bible truth about time is time should be measured by events and experiences, not just by a watch or a device. Time should be measured by events or experiences and not just by a watch or device. You know, today we're capable. You know, Ptolemy was excited because he figured out you could divide a minute into 60 parts and have a second. Then it took till the 17th century before a man had a time device where he could actually keep track of a second. Now we track time in hundreds, thousands, ten thousands, and most of you could do it on your smartphone, which makes us dumb. We're dumb and we have a smartphone. And the smarter our phone is, the dumber we become. Say amen. And so we have the ability to track that stuff even down to the thousands, ten thousandths of a second. So we can certainly track time. Not by the hour of the day, but by the thousands, ten thousandths of a second. So we're great at tracking time. But you know, the Bible doesn't mention measuring time that way. Do you ever think about this? It only refers to the measure of time and what happened or what's going to happen. It doesn't use time the way we use time or the way we think of time. You know, it measures time concerning what happened. It, you know, this happened in the third watch of the night or the fourth watch of the night, or this is going to happen at this time. The Bible speaks of watches of time like a guard would observe, you know, which is hours long. It doesn't speak of the way we use it, allotting time for certain things. Now, I do know, for instance, the tribulation period is going to be 7 years long, but it doesn't talk about tracking time or observing time like we do throughout the day. We allot time for everything. Don't we? I'm going to do this from 2 to 4. I'm going to do this from 4 to 6. And if I have time, then I'm going to do this from 8 to 10. And so we allot time for everything. The Bible doesn't speak of the use of the time that way and allotting precise hours, minutes, and the days to everything that we do. We do that, of course, we make ourselves a slave to time because we measure out specific portions of it in order to do everything. We do it with our kids and our spouse and our family. I'm going to spend this much time with my kids, this much time with my family. We measure it out with our kids. We do it at church. Well, I can give you this much time on work day, or I can devote this much time to this thing or to that thing. And we allot out time by portions. We do it with God. Well, I can give God from 11 to 12 on Sunday. You know, I can allot God a certain amount of time. The Bible doesn't use time that way. Now, again, I understand we have to do scheduling. I get that. I'm not saying that we should throw away scheduling. It's not my point. But in God's word, time is allotted by value, by experience, by what's important. He talks about these times and seasons in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. These are important times and seasons in Ecclesiastes 3. Look over there, if you will, quickly. We're almost done. Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time and a season for every purpose under the sun. There's time to be born and time to die. Those are important times. The time of our death is an important time. We can't measure that out or allot it. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up. There's a time to kill and to heal and to break down, to build. These are seasons and times in life. God doesn't talk about weeping from 4 a.m. until 3 p.m. He doesn't talk about time that way. And we miss some of the these important times because they don't fit into our schedule. You follow me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a schedule. I got to follow this schedule. And so since I don't have it's not in the schedule, I don't have time for it. Because we look at time that way. We so schedule our life that we don't have time for the important things. I would really like to do one of these things, but there's just not time to schedule. You know, we miss some of this because it doesn't fit in our, laughing doesn't fit in our schedule right now. Speaking, talking about the thing, the couple that's done speaking in our schedule, embracing, loving, dancing. We're Baptists, so that should never fit in your schedule, but fitting into our schedule, these things don't fit in our schedule. We'd really like to do one of these, but we have to be somewhere in 10 minutes. I'd really love to stay around and laugh with you, Brother Casey, but I got to be somewhere in 10 minutes. I'm not going to dance with you, but I might stay around and laugh with you, but I got to be somewhere in 10 minutes. Are you following me? And it's not because we don't have enough time. It's because we've got so much other stuff we've crammed in that now we're on a schedule where everything has to be done right now. Some things in life can't be done on a schedule. Come on, you understand that? And some things can't be rescheduled. You can't pick up some things where you left off. How many of you said, well, I'll just pick up where I left off. You can't always pick up stuff where you left off, like an appointment or some kind. Listen, your child only takes one first step. They don't take two first steps. They don't take one first step. You can't schedule that. You can't say, well, you know, I'll go to work when I come home at 4 p.m., then my child will take their first step. No, you can't schedule that. The kid only says one first word. Daddy, which should be always be his first word. Now it should be grandpa, but his first word. Or her first word. You can't schedule that. How do you schedule when your child's going to say their first word? And sometimes we get so busy getting and gaining and going here and going there. And I know we can't always work all that out. But I do know this much, that sometimes we get so much stuff in our time, we get our time so upside down that we miss some of that important stuff, like we could schedule it. And these are important events. The Bible talks, your child only has one first Sunday in church. You only have so many days to teach them about the Lord and lead them to serve Him and to lead them to Christ and spare them eternity in hell. You've only got so much time. You can't just schedule all that. You can't schedule. How do you schedule, Brother Matt, opportunities to talk to your girls about the Lord? You can't schedule that. It just comes up. When they do one of these, Daddy, how come? You brace yourself with this deep theological thing that's about to come because usually they ask better questions than adults do. And so you can't schedule that stuff, can you? And when we get our time upside down and forget that God comes first, you know, if you put God first, you'll have enough time for your family.
That's right.
And you can serve God together, live for Him together. Time ought to be measured. The Bible measures time by events and important things. And we know that because have you ever said this? You remember that time? You're not talking about 4 o'clock 6 years ago on the 13th of whatever month. You're talking about what? An event. You're talking about something important happening in your life. This is how the Bible measures time. We miss so much of the important because of the immediate. You know, when we habitually have no time for the important or for God, it's because we've so mismanaged our time that God has allotted us. There's no room for anything else in the schedule. And worst of all is when we miss heaven because we didn't have time to get saved. Didn't have time to go to church and hear the gospel and get saved. We would have been there, but, you know, there's too many pressing things going on. We would have raised our child in church, but there was too many pressing things going on. We were going to do it one of these days when we had time. We only got so much time, and we need to measure time by the important things, just not by the schedule. We got to have a schedule, but there's stuff in life you can't schedule. You just can't do it. And so when we get our time too full, there's nothing left for the stuff that comes up that's really important. Listen, it's important to have enough money to eat. But it's also important to be there when your child does the first of whatever, to witness that, to be a part of that. It's important, you know, it's important to be helping others, but it's also important to be there when that kid's got this pressing question about God on their mind. That's huge to them. It's important. Time can't be measured out by the clock, but also by the important things, by the will of God. Amen. Fourthly, almost done. Fourth truth about time, it's all about balance. That's part of what Solomon meant in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, when he said there's a time for this and a time for that and a time for this. That's balance. There's a time to live and a time to die. There's time to weep and a time to cry. We all go through all these times in our life. There are things in life that have to be done. Got to go to work. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you don't work, neither should you eat. So we got to go to work. We got to take care of ourselves. We got to provide. But even then, with the knowledge that the most important things and the limited portion of time that God has given me needs to always be kept in mind. Now, for example, it's good for man, as I said, to work and support his family. James says, if you don't deserve to eat. But when we get work and material support out of balance, we do it to the neglect of the spiritual. Man, if you're working hard to support your family, praise the Lord. I applaud you for that. But if you're doing that so much you don't have time for God, you're out of balance, friend. Because you've provided them with material blessing, but you provided nothing for them spiritually. And while you might leave them a great inheritance, it's not going to do them any good when they run out of their time and end up in hell. And if you're saved today, if you profess to be saved, you ought to be concerned about where your children and your grandchildren are going.
Amen.
And so time is so important to all of this. God allotted us enough to live our lives, to tend to the important things and serve Him. And when you don't have time for your family, when you don't have time for God or to raise your family in the house of God, you're out of balance. You know, God built time and gave it to us. He gave us 6 days to work, didn't He? Come on, this is God's plan. He gave us 6 days to work. And what's day seven for? It's for Him and to worship Him. We think when we read the seventh day, it means to rest. We're not supposed to do anything. That's not what it means. It means we're to rest and focus on Him. It means we're to come out of the rat race of the world for a while and come together as God's people and focus on our Lord. And He's given us the time to do all of that. And then lastly, we're done. Fifth truth about time is you've got to be willing to set aside the seemingly urgent for the most important if you're ever going to hear from God. Luke chapter 10. Fifth truth about time is you've got to be willing sometimes to set aside the urgent or the most important if you want to hear from God. You know the other thing, and I'm done, that you can't schedule? You can't schedule hearing from the Lord. How do you schedule that? Well, let's see. I think I'm going to plan, Brother Chad, on hearing from God between 10 and 10:15 tomorrow morning. God shows up when He shows up, Brother Sam, doesn't He? You can't schedule that. But we have to be willing to set aside sometimes the immediate in order to hear from Him. Well, I've got so much to, listen, I got so much to do today. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got to get this done. I got to get going. Well, if you want to hear from God, you need to take the time to spend in His Word. You need to take the time to spend in prayer. Because you may be busy, but don't think you can just run back in at 2 o'clock this afternoon and hear from God. Follow me? You got to be willing to give Him the time to hear from Him. Luke chapter 10, you know this passage, verse 38, and we're finished. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass that as they went into a certain village, there was a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, speaking of Christ, Luke 10, 38. And she had a sister named Mary, remember this, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. He said, she's chosen the good thing, which is to hear from me. To hear from me. Now, was serving important? Come on, was getting dinner out, was all that important? But sometimes you've got to take time away from the immediate if you're going to hear from Him. Sometimes you've got to say, you know what, I got laundry to do, we got school to teach, we got this to do, we got that to do, but I need to hear from God. And I need to take the time. You know what Jesus' point was? You're not wasting time when you're giving time to hear from Him. I got so much to do today. I got so much to do. Well, we all got so much to do. But if you're going to hear from God, sometimes you've got to take the time to hear from Him. And you know what? That's not a waste of time. Our mentality is, I don't have time to waste reading my Bible. I got important stuff to do. Well, if you want to hear from Him, sometimes you've got to say, you know what? The grass is just going to have to get a little taller today. You know what? The laundry, it'll still be dirty tomorrow. And the kids, starting 1 hour late in school today, I'm going to destroy their entire path of education because I need to hear from the Lord today. I understand we have schedules. I get all that. But sometimes you've got to be willing to sacrifice some of that if you want to hear from God, because you can't schedule hearing from God. You know what? I can't always schedule when I really need to hear from Him either. I always need to hear from Him, but there are some days I really need to hear from Him. And on those days, I got to say, you know what? I got 1,000 things to do because I probably have too much stuff crammed into my schedule. But I need to hear from God, so I'm going to sacrifice the immediate for that. It's better than saying, I need to hear from Him today, but He is not in the schedule. That's not how God measures time. Listen, it's so important to understand that time is the gift of the Lord that He's given to us. He didn't give it to us to be our slave or our master. He gave it to us to use. The question is, what are we doing with our time? You know, providing material support for our family, that's great. We absolutely ought to do that. But what about eternity? Wouldn't it be a shame for a person, you know, children or grandchildren, as I said, to grow up and end up in eternity in hell when they had the best things in life? You know, if we're so busy that we don't have time for God who gave us time, then something is wrong in our life. God can bring things into your life and realign your thinking about the use of time. Now's the time to get saved, because there's no portion, no guarantee of the portion that we're going to have. You know, for the saved this morning, if you're saved, we need to examine how we use our time. That's why we use this time of year to do this. We need to examine our use of time. And if you're like me and God convicted your heart about how much you complain about time, it's like the Lord saying, you know, the amount of time is not the problem, friend. It's like the Lord told me this way. It's not the amount of time you got. It's how you're using your time. And it's what your proportions, it's what you've seen as valuable in time. It's the way you're measuring time. Listen, this morning, we need to remember it's the gift of God given to us. He's only given us a portion. Amen? One of these days, we're going to be accountable for how we use it. And we're running out of it quickly because we only have so much. And what's really going to matter, what we do with our time, is what we've done for Him and heard from Him. Stop. We need to stop. The Lord spoke to my heart about this week. We need to stop trying to schedule everything. And sometimes we just need to hear from Him and say, you know what? Everything else will keep. It'll wait. But I need to hear from Him. We need to give God time to work, because there's some things in life you can't schedule. And we need to always make sure that we have our time right, so that we can be there when our kids have those questions, or when this happens or that happens in life. I'm so thankful He gave us time. If you're today not saved, know Christ is your Savior, good news. You still have time. Amen. You still have time. Why don't you stand with me if you would.